Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Streetwise Athlone.
In this series, we learn about the old and recent history of the streets of Athlone, hear the thoughts and memories of locals and tourists, and the changes we might see in the future.
Episode 49, Dublin Gate Street.
Historian Garrod O'Brien tells us about the history of the area.
Dublin Gate Street. The clue is in the name. In medieval times, Athlone was a walled town. This was to give the inhabitants security from being raided, particularly at night by the men of Meath or others who might covet their goods. The main street on the Leinster side of the town, Church Street, ended at the Dublin Gate or East Gate. This was one of the two fortified gateways in the town walls of Old Athlone. Church Street was inside the town walls, but the area where Mardyke Street and Irish Town are now was outside the walls. The original town wall was built in 1251, but whatever remnants of the town wall survive today are all believed to date to the 17th century, when the town walls were rebuilt and refortified because of ongoing troubles. In the 17th century, the Confederate Wars were raging in Ireland, and of course towards the end of that century, we had two sieges in Athlone as a result of the Williamite and Jacobite Wars. It was because of the fragile political situation at this time that bastions were added to our town walls to provide additional protection. Despite the fact that we had very little of our town walls surviving, and that both gates have long disappeared, our walls are nevertheless interesting, as we are unique in Ireland in having bastions. A portion of one such bastion survives just outside Athlone Civic Centre. We believe that the Dublin Gate was built by Edmund O'Fallon about the year 1578. It stretched across the road at the end of Church Street, which was approximately in line with what was Timon's shop and later Healing Earth. While no images of the Dublin Gate survive, it was obviously a substantial structure, probably with a gatehouse or castle built into it. Writing in the 1640s, Sir Henry Piers described the defences of Athlone as a castle and a town wall with two towers or gatehouses. Unlike the North Gate, which survived until the 1840s, the Dublin Gate was obviously demolished before 1784, as a map drawn in that year does not refer to it. Just around the corner from Dublin Gate Street is an area called the Bawn, probably most famous now as the birthplace of the tenor John Count McCormack in 1884. However, the Bawn was an important component of the medieval town defences. The word Bawn comes from the Irish Bo Dún, which was a protected structure inside the town wall where cattle and livestock could be held for safety. The Bawn, as we know it today, was probably once the interior of a bastion which protected the Dublin Gate. Even in the 1960s and 70s, I can recall a few thriving businesses operating from the Bawn, the only one of which is still surviving being Horan's Pork Butchers. There was Jerry Fitzgibbon's Menswear, Mrs. Pat Murtha's Flower Shop, and Athlone's first launderette run by Carolyn's, Concannon's Fireplaces, and Donal Hines also had a record shop opening onto the Bawn with the Arden Bar overhead. Looking back to Griffith's valuation in 1854, there were 10 houses in the Bawn and 10 houses in Dublin Gate Street. A gateway in the Bawn led into the old Church of Ireland rectory. Dublin Gate Street is one of the shortest streets in Athlone. It stretches from what was Timon's shop, later Healing Earth, towards the corner where it joins Mardyke Street. And across the road, the last shop in Dublin Gate Street is Paddy Power's Bookies. Looking back to about 1980, the shops in Dublin Gate Street included Timon's, which was originally a butcher's shop, but when old Reggie Timon retired in the 1940s, his family opened a small general store. When his son Isidore retired, his son Valis Timon opened a trendy clothes shop called Chic Boutique. Next door to Timon's was Peter Molloy's bar, and beside that was Moran's butcher shop. M.J. Moran then opened the premises as a turf accountant. The next little premises was Claffey's, who had a fast food restaurant. This was destroyed in a fire in the early 1960s, and when it was rebuilt and reopened, it became a pet shop and later a flower shop. The next premises was a pub called the Bottleneck, because it was at the narrowest point of the street. And next door was RTV Rentals, and beside that Eric Stanley's. He dealt in furniture and carpets. On the far side of the street was Hines & Son, run by Donal Hines, and Case's Supply Stores, which sold china and hardware, and also sold seeds and homegrown plants, which were grown by a long-serving shop assistant, Eddie Griffin.
Michael tells us about the tragic death of his grandfather, Councillor Michael Burke, in Dublin Gate Street.
Well, it happened in October 1920. The Black and Tans had a convoy out near Moat, and they were ambushed, and I think one of their convoy was killed, and they came. They had a barracks in at Lawn, I think, and they came back. They were coming back to the barracks, and they started firing indiscriminately when they came into the town, shooting in windows and at the shops and that. And yeah, they were taking it out, I suppose, on the local population for one of their own being shot but ambushed. And there was people going to the friary to the October devotions, and they all huddled, went into the friary, and the same in St. Mary's. They went into St. Mary's, but they came down the town firing randomly, and my grandfather was over in across the road, just a few steps across the road in Farrell's, and when he heard the shooting, he decided he'd come back to his own family to look after them, and he was just crossing the road when he was struck in the head, was shot in the head with a bullet, and he was just unlucky that he happened to decide to cross to his own family at the time. And I think a friar and a local man helped him into his own house, and then he was admitted to the local hospital, but he died. He never recovered consciousness. He died 3 days later. He was also a member of the Urban Council. I think he was chairman of the Urban Council at the time, and he was also a member of what was then known as the Board of Guardians, which I think, could you call it the forerunner of social welfare, like the Board of Guardians. And we got a plaque in his memory then at the corner of the house where he actually lived in. That was our house, where the plaque is at the moment. But it has half of the house has been knocked down to widen the street there, like. But the plaque is exactly in Dublin Gate Street and the exact site of where his home house was. He was in Farrell's, Eddie Farrell's house, 41's as it was then. The Brazen Monkey or something is the name of it now. But that our family and the Farrell family, like, were just across the road, 10 feet from one another, like, and they were very close neighbours and friends. And someone had died in the house, I'm not sure who, but he had gone over, like, to help them with the arrangements and that. And then, as I said, he heard the rumpus in the town, like, in the shot, so he said, it's safer to go back to my own family and see that they're all right. And he was within a couple of steps of his own house when the bullet hit him. He never recovered. We thought, like, that, I mean, he was an urban councillor, and he was shot by the Black and Tans, like. He was doing no harm to anybody. We just thought it would be a nice gesture to place it at the site of where the shooting took place. And as it happened, it was at his own house. We felt his family and relatives that it'd be nice to commemorate his memory.
Streetwise Athlone. Historical research and presentation by Garrod O'Brien. Additional research by Damien McKellen. Interviews by Amanda Gunning, Ursula Ledwith, Mel Ray, and Erica Follows Smith. Editing by Kyle McKellen. Produced by Amanda Gunning. The additional contributor to this episode was Michael Burke. Special thanks to Eamon Kelly.
funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.